Please stand with me and turn to the book of Titus, Titus chapter 2. This is one of the books we study in our small group, and when we were studying that, this godly life came up, and I thought that that is something needs to be talked about. So that's what we're going to do today.
All right.
Chapter 2. I mean, as we depend on God and His grace and the Holy Spirit, we have that we can, you know, with the abilities that God has given us, we are there are choices we make every day. And we have a part in those choices. You know, every moment we make a choice. So we have to make those choices. And what is it based on? What do we base the choices on? The number one base is the Word of God. Agree? Number one basis is the Word of God. So when we make decisions in our lives, there are decisions, there are some major decisions we make, like what kind of field you're going to study, which school you're going to go, who is going to marry, what kind of job you're going to take, where are you going to take, all these choices we make, but there are small choices we make every day too. So these are all has to be based on the Word of God. So that is one of the things that we do, as we make choices in our lives, we have to base our choices on the Word of God. So I just want to deal with, there are about 5-6 ways that we test our decisions, to make sure this is a godly decision. Okay, it's a godly choice. So that will help us to kind of make, little understanding of how we make those choices. So the first one is, whatever we choose, whatever choice we make has to agree with the Word of God. So that is the first test, that is the most important test, and every decision we make has to be based on what the Bible says. So that is the number one. And we know this is an unchanging book, right? And so, and this is the ultimate authority because it's God's book. This is the ultimate. As believers, we know that is the ultimate authority because it is God's word. Because when we make these choices, there are two choices, right? There are two options we have. Whether it is a godly choice or is it a worldly choice. So we have two choices. So we want to lean on to godly choice, and it's based on the Word of God. The reason is, God wrote this, years and years ago, right? 10,000 years ago, let's say. He wrote this 10,000 years ago, just a number. But it is, when he say it's, something is wrong 10,000 years ago, it's wrong 1,000 years ago, and it's wrong today. That's why we hold on to this. That's why we can base our decisions on this. When we have other the basis, whatever the media says, or whatever the family says, or the friend says, or the people, our co-workers, we get a lot of help from everybody around us when we share our thoughts with them. But it doesn't matter. Whatever the other people says, it changes. This moment maybe it is true, but next moment it may be different. So we cannot base our decision on that. It's okay to share with people and get some ideas. That is fine. But our final decision has to be based on the Word of God. Because there we understand what God wants and what He really means with whatever our situation is. And the problem is sometimes when we read the word and try to understand based on a situation, it may not match up with what we think it should be. You know, then some questions come creep into our mind and say, you know, we may be thinking, really, God really means that? You know, does He really mean it that way? Or did He really say it? You know, we get all these little questions creep up into our heads. So did He really say it? Did He really mean it? You remember that? Where you saw that before? That, you know, that was the first doubt that Satan brings to Adam. Did God really say that? And we think about that. Sometimes when we read the Bible, we look at our situation, try to understand it, and then we think, did He really mean that? I mean, it looks clear, but did He really mean that? That is that doubt Satan bringing into our mind, saying, maybe not. We have that doubt into our heads. And that's what He did with Adam. And He tricked Adam with that doubt. The second one is, would you want others to know your decision? You know, what would other people say? It is the test of empathy. You know, is, you know, would you share your decision? You know, when you try to make that decision, you may worry about it a little bit. You may think about what people may say. And, you know, if you make that decision, and then after you made that decision, your thought comes to your mind and say, if somebody else hear about it, then you know you didn't do it right. You know you didn't make the right decision. So let's don't make that decision. You know, if you have that doubt, if you think, if I share this with someone else, I mean, they are going to make a big fuss out of it, or, you know, whatever happens, it doesn't agree with the other people, let's hold off. Just don't make that decision that way, because it must be wrong. So that is the test of integrity, you know. Well, when you feel that if I share this with someone else, you know, they will ridicule me, they are going to tell me this is wrong. You know, you should not make that choice. And if you feel that way, don't make that choice. And you know, as believers, as children of God, you know, let's say we made that decision. You know, God will still forgive us. Let's say, you know, we did something wrong, God still forgives us. But, you know, He doesn't want us to know that we are doing it wrong and go do it. You know, He doesn't want to do that. But He will still forgive us. But there are consequences. When you've done something wrong, there is a consequence, and God will not take that up. You know, He's not going to come and clean all that up. You know, you're going to suffer the consequences, but He will forgive your sin. So think about that. You don't want to go through the consequences that you have to go through. So let's don't make that choice. Okay? So first of all, you compare or you check with the Word, see if that agrees with that. Secondly, will I be able to share this with someone else and have it? Enjoy it, and they know that it is right. It's okay. That's a good choice. The third test is, will it make me a better Christian? You know, there are things that is okay with the Word. You know, that's the first test, right? And the Word says, it is fine. It's okay to do it. But we still have to go through the rest of the test. You know, just because the Word says it's okay to do it, that may not be the best answer for you. You know, even though it is You know, that's for all the Christians, that answer is for everything. But for me personally, that may not be the right thing. So the test is, will it make me a better Christian? I mean, you know, we spend a lot of time watching TV, you know, we write these novels, you know, doesn't, you know, I know people read hours and hours reading novels, you know, these stories that, and all the time is spent on TV, you know, I mean, just to have some enjoyment, or on the internet, you know, spending all those time reading blogs and whatever. I mean, is that benefit? All that time you're spending, is that benefit us? I mean, Bible would not say it is wrong to watch a little bit of TV, or read a book, or even to go to the internet. But Bible is not going to say it's wrong. But is that going to benefit me if I spend all that time on that? You know, how much time do we spend on it? Is that going to benefit me? So that is another test. Will that benefit me in our life? You know, it's not only, you know, as a child of God, but, you know, just for the, you know, our development, you know, our life. Because one of the things that is very short is time. Talk about that. So, whatever we do, you know, when we, the third test is that going to make me a better person? The fourth one is, no matter how good something is, will you become addicted to it? Will you become addicted to it? I mean, let's say this has helped a lot of people. You know, it's been good. But if that takes the place of Jesus in your life, no good. Okay? It doesn't matter how good it is. You know, it doesn't matter how many people tell you it is good and how many people have really been benefited by it. But if it gets addicted to it, what does that mean? You know, it means you have very real difficulty changing, right? Let's say somebody is a drug addict, means, you know, they have real difficulty getting rid of that urge, right? So, this addiction, if you get addicted to something like that, you know, that's not something you want to do. Even though the Bible says it is okay. Okay? So, but it's not good for you. Because you have a problem with that. You're getting addicted to that. First Corinthians 6:12. All things are lawful for me, but I will not be mastered by them. That's what happened. You are being mastered by that one thing. And you don't want that to happen. So, you know, and it's, you know, it can become an idol, right? I mean, that, because what is the first commandment? You know, the Ten Commandments, right? And the first commandment is, you will have no other gods except me, right? I am the only God. And when someone is mastering us, that becomes our God. You know, it can be money, it can be sex, it can be TV, anything. I mean, they say there are about 2,000 addictive, you know, things out there, you know, including chocolate and ice cream and coke, and, you know, whatever. I mean, anything can be addictive, right? I mean, some people, I know at my work, you know, some people, they have to have their coke, you know, that's the first thing they drink. And so, you know, it's addiction to something. So, if something gets addictive, you don't want that in your life. You get rid of that. Because that's where when you are sitting quietly, you know, what comes to your mind? I mean, let's say right now we are all here, we're talking about addiction, we're talking about these things. You know, you're thinking, something came to your mind, and you say, no, it cannot be. You know, that's what it is. Maybe that's what is addictive to you. So, don't do it. And the next test is, will it harm other people? You know, I mean, it's good and well for me, but is that going to harm someone else? We need to, that's a test we need to do also. You know, what the world teaches is, if it's good for me, that is great, right? I mean, it's all about me, right? That's what the world teaches, it's all about me. But that's not how God is, and that's not what the Bible teaches. He always wants to think about others. You know, otherwise Jesus could have just sat on a chair in the heaven, you know, he didn't have to come. He thought about all of us. And that's the same heart he gave to all of us. And he wants to be us to be thinking about others. So whenever we take a decision, we have to think about, is this going to hurt someone else? And then don't do that. You know, it has to be beneficial not only to me, but to those around me. You know, those we are in contact with, those who cares about me. They all have to be, you know, in sync with this thing, that they will not be hurt. So that is another test. Okay? Make sure it does not harm someone else. Romans 14, 12 to 13. Each of us will give an account of himself to God. Try to live in such a way that you will never make your brother stumble by letting him see you doing something he thinks is wrong. So if someone else thinks it's wrong, don't do it because you are tripping him. You don't want to hurt him and his feelings because, you know, he thinks this is how a Christian should be. And the Bible says, we know well, it is fine, right? But if that hurts that person, understanding of where, you know, because he may be a young Christian who doesn't understand everything. And if that hurts him in his life, Christian life, let's don't do it. So, make sure it doesn't harm other people. And lastly, is it the best use of my life and my time? Whatever we are doing, you know, there are only so many hours in a day, so many hours in a week. And it's the same for all of us, right? It's same for everyone. And we have, let's say, 168 hours in a week. You know, we come here Sunday, we have 168 hours in a week, and that's for anyone in this world. And that's all we have. And we see, you know, some people making that time very useful, and they become very successful, and some others who have at the same time, you know, who does nothing in their life. And here we are talking about a Christian who wants to be used of God, you know, who wants to serve God, and who wants to serve people, because what is God called us to do? To be a witness, right? So we want to help others come to God. I hear John is going away for doing that, and it's wonderful, you know, but we are here, and we have to do this every day. And we have this many hours, 24 hours in a day. And how are we going to use this 24 hours? You know, if you're going to, you know, like I mentioned earlier, all the TV shows we watch, all the books we read, all the internet time we spend, you know, how are we going to use this time? And to make a right decision in our life, we have to have rest. You know, if our brain is not rested, it's hard to make right decisions, right choices. You know, so it's very important we have to have rest, and we have to, you know, make these decisions and do what God wants us to do. You know, I mean, we have jobs and school and family. We have all these things, we have 24 hours. So how are we going to use that time? So this is, we need to consciously think about that. Don't just sit through, you know, watch 8 hours of TV. Right? You have to bring this into your head, say, you know, is this benefiting me? Is this the best use of my time? Is this benefit God or people or me? Never. So we need to make use of that time that God has given us, so that whatever God called us to do may be accomplished. And, you know, we need to read the Bible, spend time with God, and help out in any way we can, and serve any way we can, you know, at home, at church, workplace, wherever. So, be conscious of how you're spending your time. And so, what we need to think is this the best use of my time? So these are some of the questions that we can ask to help us to live a godly life, make the right choices. You know, because making choices is part of our everyday life. You know, someone says, 1,000 choices you make a day. I don't know, I didn't start counting. I mean, we make a lot of choices. And if we start practicing this, it becomes very easy for us to make those choices. And of course, sometimes we really need to struggle with some of these things. But, you know, God is there to help us in all this. And the Word is right beside us. So, keep this in mind when we make these choices in our lives. And, you know, because God wants us to be people who make godly choices. And that's what He wants. And we are, you know, God is preparing us in a way, you know, that's why we come here and we fellowship with our, the family, you know, God's family, where we are able to share with each other of our situations and the victories and the failures and, you know, everybody is encouraged and helped by that. And we are to continue to do that, and that way our lives will be, you know, joyful and productive for the kingdom of God, and that's what we want to do. So, I pray that we all will, you know, make that commitment with God to follow these steps. I mean, this is some practical steps to make the right decisions in our lives so that our lives may go smoothly, because, you know, otherwise we have to face the consequences. That our lives may go smoothly and God will be able to use us, you know, in a way that He wants us to. I mean, we're talking about, you know, hearing the voice of God. You know, when we read the Bible, we always bring our backgrounds and, you know, our thinking into the Bible, and instead of doing that, I mean, I know that helps. That helps to kind of understand it into, put it into our situation. But we need to really just read and listen to God. You know, just listen instead of bringing all this, you know, and jumble up, you know, who God is there. So let's just listen to God and then follow God. And God will have a happy face when He sees us. Okay? So I pray that God will help us. Let's pray. Dear God, I thank You for Your vision for each of our lives. We know that You want us to be a great people who are called out by Your name and live by Your name and may share to the world that we are Your people and that You are a God who cares, who loves, who redeems, and who wants everyone to know that they have safety in You. God, I thank You for the forgiveness of our sins and for Your grace that drew us to You and kept us in Your presence. And I thank You for Your second coming, Lord. We are looking forward to that day. Lord, prepare us for that day, and we commit ourselves this day to be ready for You. And we ask that Your Holy Spirit will continue to abide with us and guide us and speak to our hearts daily, Lord, as we make choices in our lives. And we pray that You will be our strength and our guide. And in Your precious name we pray. Amen.